Welcome to Misdone Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your households. I am your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I am your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
Another wonderful day at Patch Potch.
There are always wonderful days at Patch Potch. I have been well. How have you been?
Pretty good. Very low-key weekend here. It's getting into summer, officially kicking off, or at least, you know, post-Memorial Day, I guess.
That's the official start of summer for me.
Yeah. Isn't the official start of summer, isn't it like June 22nd is the solstice, if I'm saying that correctly?
I think solstices are, that's spring and fall. No, summer solstice. Nope, you're right. It's the summer and winter solstice, and the other ones are the equinox.
The thing that I always get off is, does that mean it's the start of summer? I mean, that would make sense, but I also feel like that's not right in terms of weather, just because it's so hot already, and it's not like it gets, like, hotter. I don't know.
I agree. I think whenever these terms were created, it was like during the pagans times, you know? So who knows what the weather was like back then. I'm sure scientists do.
Yeah.
One thing that I always think of that, and how you can tell that weather has like drastically changed with climate change, is that whenever you see, I don't know, this may not be true, but like, do you remember when you used to go out for Halloween and it was like hot? You know, and like you could go out and like, you know, I cannot remember the last time that there was a hot Halloween or that there was a
warm Halloween.
Yeah.
A nice muggy Halloween.
Every single Halloween's a hot Halloween if you dress appropriately.
Or inappropriate.
That was way better. Yes.
That's okay. I'm with you because, like, honestly, I remember actually in college, it was supposed to be, like, super cold for one Halloween that I went. And I genuinely, I think I was going to, like, a Halloween party. I was like, I'm going to go as a snowboarder so I can wear some, you know, like, thick pants and a big winter coat and stuff like that. And you know, if wherever we're going and we're, like, going outside to, like, hang out on the, you know, porch or whatever, and we're, you know, obviously gonna be out there hanging, talking, partying, all that good stuff. It's like, I want to be warm. I don't want to be in some, like,
yeah,
you know, scantily clad or, you know, some kind of, you know, revealing outfit or anything. It's like, no, I want to be a skier. That's my costume this year. Someone who's warm.
I always feel so bad for, and you know, actually that's not true. There have been some times in Chicago where I passed out candy and it's been decently warm. But for the most part, a lot of the times when I'm passing out candy, the kids will have their costume and then they will just literally be walking around in like giant, like North Face jackets. And like, it feels
covering
like
up most of their costume.
Yeah, it feels pretty bad. I mean, I, you know, still give them candy, obviously, but it's like, you know, I don't even do the thing of being like, what are you? Because I, you know, I'm sure that they feel bad that they can't even, like, dress how they want to be dressing, you know?
Yeah.
So
Halloween costumes are going to start coming, or North Face is going to start doing Halloween costumes.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah, there's lots of insulation or, like, you know, down inside. Is that what it's called when it's feathers? The down?
Yeah, that's down. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like down inside of it and
geese feathers,
puffy and fluffy.
They should do that. I mean, they should have jackets like that also have, like, they could just be regular North Face jackets, but they could also just have like patterns and stuff on the outside, so it just makes it look like you're dressed up, you know.
When the Ice Age hits and Halloween is
still celebrated.
Yeah, negative 50 degrees Celsius, you're gonna see a lot of grimaces out there. You're gonna see a lot of a lot of stormtroopers, but you know, the ones when they're on Hoth, you know, all bundled up and such.
Do you think it's
maybe some tauntauns?
How hot do you think it is inside the Grimace costume?
Oh my god, I can only so first off, that thing is like felt on the outside. It's felt on the outside. I assume there's some kind of spongy or, you know, cushiony, it's almost like a memory foam inside of it. I can only imagine, because it seems to be resilient or whatever. So the fact that it probably traps heat decently well and does not expel heat at all.
There's no ventilation inside of it.
You could probably cook some McNuggets inside the Grimace costume.
Uh-huh.
As he is, and I'm going with Nugget. I know there's Grimace has been a key figure in culture, maybe not recently, but, you know, I would say in relative history, pretty recently, and there was lots of discussion on what the heck is Grimace. And I'm still going to say he's a Nugget. I don't care if there's like, oh, he's a milkshake, or in the past he was, or whatever it is.
In the past he was just a monster. He was like a villain of Ronald. He lived in a cave and wanted to, I don't know actually if he wanted to eat McDonald's or just terrorize people.
He got the Vegeta treatment of McDonald's characters. He was first the villain, and then the Hamburglar came along, and
they battled. Well, yeah. I think it would probably be Ronald, because he's always been the main character.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, Ronald is Goku.
Yeah.
Grimace is Vegeta.
Okay. Yeah.
The Hamburglar, I guess, is like Cell, I would say.
Well, the Hamburglar, I can't
or
tell.
Or Frieza.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Hamburglar has always been kind of evil, you know?
No, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Do you think that he's stealing them for a good reason? I mean, what if he's like, what if he's like a neutral character? Like, he's like,
So he's like Boo, kind of.
Yeah, or like a Boba Fett-ish kind of character.
Oh.
I don't know. You know who that would... Well, I think he's like...
He's like the Mandalorian. He's Pedro Pascal.
Android 17.
Okay.
Although Android 17 had to get reprogrammed, but Android 17 was initially good, but he's not on Goku's side.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've watched many Dragon Ball Supers, but...
I have not, but I vaguely know the plot line.
It's very good.
Onward. Oh, okay.
It's very, very good.
So, now that I said it, could you imagine a fusion between Ronald and Grimace?
I mean, I'm just picturing a pudgier, purpler Ronald, honestly. It's, you know...
Yeah, but that he... I mean, Grimace has such a thick bottom that, I mean...
He is pear-shaped.
Like, it's almost like I'm imagining thick purple Ronald, but like the pants would look like jompers or jodpers, whatever
jodpers.
You say it. Jodpers? Jompers?
No. If okay, it's not in Dragon Ball Super, then I don't know what it is.
No, see, the thing is that I actually think some characters do wear jod.
Oh, no, really?
It's like a jod.
Jodpers?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you having a stroke?
I got it. Don't worry.
Jodpers. Okay, I'm looking these up.
Look up. Okay, yeah, puffy director's pants. That's what they are.
Puffy.
They're like the pants that flare out at the thigh.
Like, oh, I'm looking at pictures of people riding horses.
I mean, yeah, it's close enough, but they're not horse riding pants because they're not tight. They're woman's baggy jodpers. I just found that is a style.
I'm specifically looking at people ride horses. It seems like the only thing that you can do in these pants is ride horses.
Just look up puffy director's pants.
Oh, I'm seeing them. I mean, they flare out. Flare out.
I'm sorry. Just the fact that you kept saying riding horses, I was imagining that you were only finding the, like, modern riding pants today that are not ridiculous.
What exactly is the benefit? I mean, I could read the Wikipedia article, but I'm sure our listeners would not like that. What is the benefit, do you think, of having pants that look like they're...
Flare out at
their
thigh?
Yeah, like they're plane wings.
I guess just that extra material, because, I mean, I guess, yeah, if you're going to be riding a horse, I don't know if it would reduce chafing, but it might just be some extra, like... If your thighs do rub up and down and the material was stuck right to your thigh, it would just be with you rubbing, whereas if it's got some extra
wiggle
room, it doesn't rub you. I don't know. That's my guess. Now, how did directors get to have jodhpurs? Why did that become a thing? What part of their occupation requires extra pants, but specifically at the thigh?
No, maybe
is it grueling work yelling at old-timey interns?
Well, maybe they're like getting up and down so much from their director's chair that they have to, like, that they could chafe, you know? Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I guess.
And maybe. So this Ronald McDonald that we have here, you know, maybe if we incorporate it, it's this purple jodhpurs wearing Ronald McDonald. He's
cool.
Maybe he's always getting up and down from his McDonald's booth to get more French fries.
Maybe a fusion between them is like, yeah, like Ronald has more Grimace-esque attire and looks, but maybe since we're saying he's like has like jodhpurs, maybe he even like rides Grimace like Yoshi, a valiant steed.
Oh, that's a yeah. That's the fusion, actually. The fusion is that they don't combine. They just give each other a piggyback ride.
Yeah. Well, the most terrifying part, though, is that Ronald's face becomes pure purple and Grimace's face gets clown makeup. And so it's just really off.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to me.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of this.
Yeah. All these hypotheticals.
Yeah. So we're a board game. Whoa.
We sure are.
We're not that. We're not that. We are a board game podcast.
We sure are. What we do
is we make board games, and we're going to do that now. Thanks to our Twitter poll, we got a vote.
We got one singular vote.
But you know what? That is the people. That is their voice being heard. And we, by democracy... and democratic election, are going to make a game about or centered around appendectomies.
Mm-hmm.
If that's how this works, people, if you want your voice to be heard, then get on over to PatchPotchRND on Twitter. I'll say it at the end again, but yeah, just really calling that out, that the system works.
The system does work, and here we are working it. So yeah. Thank you for the one voter who put it in. It's a clean sweep. Beating out giraffes and Jay Wellington couch.
100% approval for appendectomies.
Yeah, that's what it is. We're here most presidents.
Oh, I was just going to say, most presidents, most political systems, no one else gets 100% approval, but here at Patch Watch, sweeping.
We are in an election approval year. We are, and it's, you know, here at Patch Watch, we're here to support. It is a hot button issue. We're here to support, you know, put the power to the people, and that being doing the board game that they want us to do. So
yeah, obviously vote, let your voice be heard, but you know, also really vote for our questions.
Yeah, if you want your voice to be really heard even louder than the actual political system, you can vote for the Patch Potch polling. The PPP is what we'll call it. Anyways, appendectomies, shall we dive right in?
I think that's what the surgeon says right before performing an appendectomy to the room. Should we dive right in?
I love that. And then all the other people around it are just like, Todd, you've made that joke 100 times. Like, you cannot keep saying, let's dive right in.
Dr. Rodriguez, please stop being gross.
Yeah. It's like, this is a laparoscopic one. We aren't diving in at all. We are sending in a little robot arm
camera,
to do it.
And and it will make it a very small incision.
I love to think of it's ever since laparoscopic surgeries came about, there he just keeps saying the same joke, and you're just like, it doesn't work anymore. Like, you have to drop it.
Well, and the only reason that it really works too is that either like an intern or like, you know, a tech or someone who somehow has avoided working with Dr. Rodriguez up to this point overhears the joke and laughs, and he's like, hell yeah, that's another month on the clock for dive right in.
He's always getting new interns or like people to like study, and he like looks at them whenever he says it.
Yeah.
And the rest
of,
like,
we should dive right in.
Yeah, the rest of the people are just like, oh my god, he's gonna say the joke.
Yeah. Nurses dread having to be assigned to his surgery room. Dr.
Rodriguez.
God damn it.
He's going to say the same stupid joke.
Yep.
Well, let's get down to it, is what they always say.
I think we have a really good little... I'm imagining that the box is going to kind of obviously resemble an operation, how there's, you know, people around whoever the character of operation is, mm-hmm. and they've got all the instruments and stuff in them. But I'm imagining now an extremely overzealous surgeon just says, let's dive right in.
He's also got scuba gear on with, like, a nurse's outfit, too.
Oh.
He says, let's dive right in.
No, I feel like, though, now we're, like, getting into, like, what if it is... Okay. I mean, you said it. I'm just jumping out there, gonna put her, you know, tiger on the table. What if this is a Magic School Bus-esque appendectomy surgery where the players are in... They're in, like, a submarine or some kind of vehicle... Mm-hmm. And your job, yeah, this is even the future of appendectomies.
where you can shrink yourself down.
Yeah, it's not even laparoscopic anymore. It is microscopic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the surgeons, the whole team or whatever, gets in a little submarine, and they go in there and they blow up the appendix.
I kind of like this, because then I'm imagining this person then, it went from... open surgery, and he said, let's dive right in. Joke worked. Went to laparoscopic. Joke didn't work. And then now it's in the future, and it's microscopic where they shrink down. He's like, yes, yeah. The joke works again. He's like,
hell yeah.
Let's dive right in, guys.
Yo.
I like this idea, because then you can also do... We can have, like, maybe the main objective, or we can even have multiple objectives. Like, one person has the... one player has the objective for their team... of microscopic surgeons to take out this appendectomy by shooting a laser at it. But maybe you can also find other problems along the way and, like, cure them. Or, like, maybe it's an ever-rotating... I mean, there's a few ways we can go about it, where everyone's trying to go for the appendix, and there's also, like, challenges along the way. Or you can do it where everyone's got... multiple or different objectives, where one person has to get rid of a brain tumor or something like that, and while the other person, they're going for the appendectomy. Or you have it where it's like rotating, where you, once you do your objective, you get another one, and it could be the same as another player.
I like the player objectives. How about this? I feel like, so it's not a room full of everyone doing an appendectomy. It's teams, on each team, players control one of the, I guess we'll call it, submariners on this voyage.
Sure.
And so you contribute as a different part of the team. I think at the minimum this game is at least four people, so you have two teams of two. I think, much like, are you familiar with the video game, FTL, Faster Than Light, I think is what it's...
Faster Than Light? No, I've never heard of this game.
All right, it's actually crazy to think, but at this point, a little bit of an older game, came out in, like, I don't know, in the 2010s, somewhere around there. Whatever, doesn't matter.
Okay.
The point is that you are a space crew, and you're on... Or you command a space crew, and you're on a ship. There's different rooms of the ship that do different things, and you control the crew and tell them where to go. There's space fights where you have to have someone manning the, like, lasers or whatever, and then someone manning the engines to dodge maneuvers, and someone manning, like, the shields. But if the shields get shot and the hull gets hit and a room gets lit on fire, you have to control open doors to vent the oxygen out, but only for those rooms, else everyone will lose oxygen. Obviously, you can't just vent the whole ship.
Right.
But it's like a... All of the systems themselves are very simple, but it's having to control them very precisely in order to do that. So I am imagining that it is not just you going and completing these objectives, but, like, maybe as you're going to, I don't know, declog an artery of cholesterol, some white blood cells are coming and they're starting to attack your, you know, vessel. So you have to have someone on the, maybe they even like get to like swim outside of it, but they only have a certain amount of rounds that they can be outside, and they have to take like a harpoon and stab back the white blood cells,
right,
while the other person on the ship is clearing the cholesterol. So it's like, you know, multiple different things could be going on. No single one of them is ever like particularly complex. It's just more about like time management, team management, figuring out who's best suited for what, and running around in the chaos trying to get all these things done.
Okay, I love this. Here's my idea on this to make this more surgery. So I'm imagining we've got two boards here. One board is going to be pretty big, and it's going to have the full body. That's like the map, and then like all of the veins are like the highway systems for the teams to sort of go around. There's another board. It's much smaller, but it's going to be like the inside of, is it a ship that we're going with, or is it like, how are these divers getting around? Are the teams going to be moving independently? Are they just like free swimmers, like swimming around in the blood cell, or are they in like a little ship?
I think it's a submarine, because I actually really like your, yeah, I like the body, which is essentially like the map, and there would probably be like a small piece to represent your ship or the other player's ship, and then two ship boards.
Yeah.
And then your little player piece that is inside the ship.
Now here's where things, okay, so this is exactly what I was imagining as well. Great.
Perfect.
So here's where things get interesting, is that not only do you have a team inside the ship that you have to, you've got your players inside the ship that you're maintaining the submarine, mm-hmm. but each team also has someone who has not shrunk down, and they are also doing surgery, and they can do incisions at certain points.
That's really good.
To like, yeah, it basically they can manipulate the bigger board, which is also going to be the place where you can see yourself on the map. And then, say if they need to do, like, an incision, they can do basically, like, a maybe they can put in, like, a laparoscopic thing. They don't get to make the joke, let's dive in. But if they do need to put a giant, like,
that's just a sacrifice they have to be willing to make.
Yeah, they cannot say that joke. But, yeah, they can't put in, like, a giant claw or something like that to help out. Or, like, I don't know, like, do other things that,
no,
like,
I think that's
a big
perfect
person can do.
I'm imagining, too, like, part of it is going to be even just navigating, and like, yes, like obviously we know where the appendix is on, you know, the human body and everything, but like I'm imagining like, you know, random occurrence cards or whatever, and maybe like blood pressure spikes or something.
Yeah.
Might not get the medical things right. Well, what I'm getting at though is that like blood pressure spikes, and then like, you know, like the blood starts pumping harder, and so the ship gets, you know, quote unquote lost on the map as it's shooting through the veins and the arteries and everything. And then eventually you maybe pull a card and you're like, oh shoot, we shot way past it and we're actually on the foot. And so like not only that, but like the outside team has to make sure, or whatever, the outside players, they have to make sure that they're tracking the sub properly, and like when they come to forks in the road or something like that, they're like, okay, go down this ventricle, go over this way or whatever.
Do you think,
and so you can actually,
how,
oh, I was
should
just gonna say, and then actually like steering where the submarine goes. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, I like this idea, but like putting it in like gameplay, they're gonna be in two different rooms, and they'll have like a microphone, and one person can see the sub.
Okay. At first I was gonna propose it that each player gets a tiny microscopic person and a big person that they control, and then the turns would go like, okay, this is my submarine, this is our submarine round, so the submarine people are going to go, and then this is our over round. But no, I actually love that way more, that the human body is in a different area, or at least just, again, it just, the submarine team cannot ever look at the human body map,
uh-huh.
and the human body team cannot look at the submarine map.
Yeah.
That is,
and they
brilliant.
Actually have walkie-talkies that they would communicate with each other.
That is so good.
And the person who's the big person doing surgery, they can only move the piece to where they think it is. It's not actually, like, the map itself. So, like, yeah, I like this idea that they have to locate it. I mean, the other way that you could do it as well, besides an actual board, is if there was, like, a phone app that you would just, like, come with the game itself. That would then, like, determine for the submarine people, basically they're bored or something like that. It's less. I'm less into that idea because it's not quite as like board game.
No, I think actually the phone app would direct you along. Like, yes, you could have the little piece there, mm-hmm. but it would almost act as a, like, again, random encounter populator and something that would be like, oh, like, you know, your team turned this way and accidentally, like, crashed into the side of the stomach lining. The patient is now, like, you know, he's gonna barf. You have to clean the barf from his mouth.
He's gonna barf. It's gonna get all over the place, man. You gotta stop that barf.
Like, I was thinking more urgent, like how you have to, like, make sure that someone doesn't asphyxiate and you have to, like, clean it out. So, like,
oh, maybe I guess you, like, that's besides it being yucky.
Yeah, it's no. You know what? Actually, yeah. There's never any real danger of ever losing the patient.
Yeah,
just to it's make just sure yucky. That people understand. Yeah, this person will not die.
Do you
but
mean
I
also...
do think that there's.
Oh, go ahead.
There is definitely a winner or loser of this game because it's whoever actually gets their sub to the appendix and successfully performs the appendectomy.
Oh yeah.
There's only one body that they're both inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. I think that's right too.
Perfect.
I think would be even cooler. Is that we also had this phone app, like, it would connect to the walkie-talkies that we'd provide as well. And so that maybe sometimes you're in a place that's, like, I don't know, you're in the small intestine, and it's bad cell service. Your walkie-talkie wouldn't work for, like, a few turns, and that you wouldn't be able to communicate with your team until they were able to navigate out of, like, a certain situation. We could still make things for the person who is... outside of the body to, like, do things.
Maybe they could even, like, send codes or something like that. They could, like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know how we would explain it, but who cares? We don't have to explain it.
It doesn't need to make sense.
Yeah, they can't receive walkie-talkie signals, but they can get, like, you know, quote-unquote Morse code or something like that. And so you send them, like, you know, a series of shapes and colors and objects or whatever, and then it maybe lines up with a puzzle that they are seeing on their side.
Oh,
so you have to try and, like...
This is such a good idea. You know what we should actually make the phone app is that...
What's up?
The phone app should just be, like, the radio module for it. Like, you still get the board piece, like we said, for the actual submarine, but, like, the phone app, it looks just like... It does have, like, puzzles and maybe something on it, but, like, it looks just like something that would be on the submarine itself. And so that you can kind of tell...
Love that.
Maybe it does have a sonar thing. You can kind of tell your lefts and rights and whatnot, but, like... Yeah, I think it's a I don't know. I just I don't know how many puzzles that we should be including to do on the phone app, because if multiple people are going to be playing
I'm not saying multiple puzzles. I'm saying, like, maybe, like, once or twice in the entirety of running a game, it would be more like a random occurrence. Like, you're progressing through and your team is moving, and I feel like, I don't know, to, like, again, nail down some mechanics more. Every move, the submarine team draws a random encounter card or something like that. And then, you know, again, they either are attacked by white blood cells or, you know, the stomach lining is or there's too much stomach acid coming at them or something like that. Or, you know, whatever it is. I think every once in a while there is one that's like, oh no, the radio broke, and so now you can't communicate. And then again, it has to be some kind of, like, somewhat intuitive, but, you know, puzzle that the teams have to work together.
Well, I think this should be where this should be something along the lines of, like, this would be the moments that you would go outside the ship, you know, where you would need to get someone to like repair the antenna, or you would maybe need to do, like, a dice roll to, I don't know, like, fend off something, or, like, but then maybe you do input that into the actual, like, phone app saying, like, it's been fixed, or, like, here are the numbers that I rolled to fix this, antenna, so, like...
Yeah.
And then basically from there, then you can, what was I gonna say? Then it would, like... The phone app would start working again, and it would start, like, you can communicate with the walkie-talkies.
Yeah. I think the other aspect, or at least, again, just, like, other mechanic to continue gamifying, I think the... I like how we're just saying the big person and the submarine people, but the big person...
Well, what else would they be?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
the big person.
What if that's the rule? Actually, is that only your tallest friend can be your tallest person on each team.
The tallest member of your team has to be the big person.
Yeah. So it is quite literally the big person.
There you go. Yeah. Tall people, I'm sorry, but you're either going to have to go out and find some taller friends.
If you want to play this.
If you want to be the submarine person ever. And short people, I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to be the submarine people.
Yeah, you will never get to play as the big person.
Yeah, you'll never be the big person. But anyway. So I'm imagining, like you said, like incisions and stuff. Like maybe, I guess just to keep using this one example, if they're being attacked by white blood cells but they don't have any weapons on them, the big person has to be like, oh crap, okay, first I need to find where the sub is and they're being attacked. Then I need to use or do some like dice rolls or some kind of like successful check or whatever to essentially make a small incision and then drop in a tiny little harpoon or something like that and drop it into, or at least get it to where the submarine is so that they can obviously grab the harpoon and use it as a weapon.
I like this. I like doing this little
airdrop.
Yeah. You know what's also, oh no, here we go, along the lines of airdrops. What if this was also like a competition as well? Where, what if you couldn't use your walkie-talkies unless you set up a little cell tower thing inside the body for communication?
Oh, you have to make... Boy, this is like a full-on war game. Just like, all right, we've set up a trench in the left ventricle.
Yeah,
we've established a foothold.
We're in the left testicle. We've set up our little cell receiver.
We've got an electric fence zapping these sperm all around us. Yeah.
We're surrounded. What if, but then you could actually make this so that...
Why'd you have to bring an egg sandwich?
Okay. But then you could make this more of a competition of... You can make it more of a competition where other players can then find your cell service or cell signal and take it down. And then, you would have to like make a whole long line of connections or something like that in order to like communicate. Because if you can't communicate, then you would
extend your radar range and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Then you won't know exactly which way they're going or, you know, ups or down or whatever. So the whole point is like, you do have to make stops. Maybe you do have to, like, basically fix or, like, cure different sort of aspects of this person's body in order to set up. And that's part of also, like, the skill check as well. It's like, you could put down this, radio tower if you wanted to, but there's, like, some cancerous cells that you have to clear out first.
Oh, shit.
Or you can decide to skip it and go in blind and use the last directions that you think you know what the guy had said over the walkie-talkie.
Yeah. Do we want to... Just because this game is getting more and more, and I'm loving it, since we're getting more and more into, like... the like fighting or like whatever aspect, like, do we want to say that there is a, and I mean like personified or person, like group of enemies in this body? Like, is this body, you know, the king of New England and he needs this appendectomy, but it was only brought on by a cell of evil spy network that somehow shrunk down, and I don't know. Throwing spaghetti at the wall or whatever. Like, we can go in any direction that we want.
Well, here's the top of the brain. Here's the thing about that. So if we were to make a third team, the only way that I can think of this...
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean like a third team. I meant like literally like there's like, again, like, either enemy knights or some kind of...
No player is taking control. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm talking more of, like, the theming of it.
Then absolutely, yes. There's definitely, like, white blood cells or, like, evil, I don't know, some sort of monsters in there that are personified. So, yeah. I think absolutely.
How do we feel about... And just because I've been reading the books a lot lately, what if the person... I guess we can decide on who they are and what their occupation is. Why we're even in this situation in the first place, trying to save them. But what if they are infected with like Cthulhu-esque Lovecraftian monsters, and those are the enemies? You know, some real horrors. Maybe this game's a little spooky just because, you know, you've got all kinds of
I like that idea.
Horrors around. Go ahead. Yeah,
I think. I like this idea of it being a very unique sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm totally sold on, like, old god theming. If we're going old, fine. I still like the idea of it being, like, okay, we could throw this out there. We could even do old god for all. I'm not, like, super against it, but, like...
No. Go ahead.
What if this was, like, the DNA, like Jurassic Park DNA, and it is some sort of prehistoric virus in that all of these things kind of look like dinosaurs. Like,
there's a bunch of dinosaurs running around this body.
Yeah, well, they don't have to be, like, but they're maybe are no, the shape of dinosaurs, but, like, it's still somewhat in the realm of, like, reality. Not really, but, like, I think, I'm not even making this up, I think one of the Jurassic Park, I don't know if it was the movies or the book, but I think there was supposed to be human-dinosaur hybrids that they were going to... that they were toying around with to put into the movies.
Okay, here we go. What if... this is it. It's in the future, and a scientist... again, this is a lore backstory.
Yeah.
A scientist discovered that the purpose of the appendix is actually that it stores... or is an ancient... sealed vault inside all human bodies mm-hmm. that have stored dinosaur DNA. So he took it upon himself to experiment on himself and see if he could unlock the appendix and achieve perfection dinosaur human hybrid. The experiment went awry, obviously, and his appendix started to burst as the dinosaur DNA started coming out and attacking his own body. And now the appendix is trying to, like, or maybe it, like, lysed or, you know, was a lesion or whatever it is. And now it is trying to fully burst. And so now it is up to you, the microbiologists, to go in there and take out all the dinosaurs and successfully remove the appendix.
I love this because, okay, so we could also tie this into, like, conspiracy theories. Because it's like, you know how people say that there's, like, lizard people walking among us? It's not like lizard brains. It's actually lizard. The lizard cells actually were.
Yeah, they were in us all along.
Yeah, they were in our appendix, and we just didn't know what the appendix was for. And
exactly,
whenever an appendix exploded before, it was due to, like, maybe it was like our lizard side of ourselves were fighting against, like, the ape side or something like that, and the lizard side was trying to take us out, which is why we have appendectomies.
Yeah. The appendix is actually the organ that it seals away the lizard side of our DNA.
Yeah.
And it protects us from our lizard-like tendencies.
And whenever they explode, that just means that all the lizard stuff is getting gone too far.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
too
okay.
Too many lizards in your blood.
anyway. I think that's great, actually. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be, like, some sort of ancient... it's just... it's in all of us. It's
yeah.
You know.
No, I know. I guess when I'm saying, like, ancient, I mean, like, this is, like, a... it's an organ that, you know, has... came about since back... way back when, and we couldn't figure out what the point of it was. And it's because of this... of this long, mm-hmm. long evolutionary trait that we got that sealed away the lizard DNA. But okay, yeah.
I like this idea that once they get to the appendix, it is like this, like, golden, glowing, like, treasure.
Like Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
like, vault
exactly.
Door.
It's just,
it's like... There's hieroglyphics and depictions and stuff on it.
Like, T-Rexes and stuff. And...
Yeah. Well, no, it's a bunch of, like, yeah, like, primitive, like, or at least, like, you know, like, cave people or whatever, with, like, spears and stuff like that, poking back, like, dinosaurs behind this door, and they're like,
Yeah. And then there's...
being herded backwards.
But then there's also, like, future hieroglyphics of, like...
like presidents or like lizard people in like suits and stuff like that. And like,
oh yeah,
it's like all about that.
But then also still cave people coming out with spears to stab them. It's always cave.
Yeah, it's always cave people fighting back. And then yeah. And then future hieroglyphics of a tiny submarine shooting a missile at the appendix. Like
yeah,
even on the appendix itself, it foretold of yeah. it being blown
the
up.
Destruction.
Yeah, yeah. It's. And that's on everyone's that's appendix.
That's why the harpoon and the spear is so useful, uh-huh. is because that is what the ancient cave people
used. The ancient weapon of harpooning and sharp pointy thing to destroy the appendix.
Yeah. Guns are useless here.
Guns?
Unless they're on the craft and you're dealing with something else like in the body, but against the dinosaurs, guns are useless.
Well, if you shot a bullet surrounded by blood or water or whatever,
it would actually slow down.
It doesn't go anywhere. It goes like 1 foot if anything. So you need that harpoon gun.
Yeah, we just applied real science.
Real science to this other real science thing.
Yeah, obviously.
So
nice.
That's a great story. That's a great. I think someone should write a comic book actually about this, to be honest. But we'll just use it for our board game for now.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, just even going more tangential, we'd love to do it. I mean, that's just perfect marketing team right there. If they can make a mini thing of comics about this game even before it was released,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
getting the hype up,
yeah.
getting the lore out there so people know what it is and into, you know, the lovable cast of characters that you can mm-hmm. be and all the different, you know, things like that. Not that it matters a lot. You know, well, it might matter to the name. What is the name of this scientist that underwent and discovered this, the secrets of the appendix?
It's probably the same scientist who, discovered the shrinking aspect of the, like how to do that. And
so this person did it all.
Yeah. And well, maybe this person shrunk himself down. He was exploring some person's body, and then he discovered the ancient hieroglyphics of the appendix, and then he actually got attacked and died. And it's not like, you can't rescue him, but there was maybe in like the instruction manual of the game itself, it is explaining, it's from the perspective of this scientist, he's explaining what he had found, and then like the end of the broadcast is there, so... Like, part of this is, like, learning and following in his footsteps while also learning about all of the things that he had encountered while he was going through this dinosaur body, or body full of dinosaurs.
Then who is the body that the surgery is being performed on?
Do you think...
That's what I'm saying. Because I thought it was the same person.
Oh, wait. So the person who discovered the appendix stuff is sending in a team into his own body then?
No. So scientist discovers that the appendix has this lizard DNA and stuff like that or whatever.
Okay.
Then, in order to try and unlock the secrets, maybe he injects himself with like a serum or something, thinking that it would work and, you know, unlock the secrets as it were. But he didn't realize that when the appendix is lysed, it is holding back this malicious lizard DNA. And so he needs the surgery then to save him.
Okay.
So this is like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like personally,
I see.
There shouldn't be broadcasts or any information. This is a completely new area. Like maybe they're briefed a little bit about the stuff like that, but this is totally unfound territory for these group of scientists, let alone this group of people inside the submarine. They know nothing about any of this. And so, again, it's like surprises and stuff like that. So who is the body on the table?
Okay, so do you think the body on the table, do you think that they're awake while this is happening and that they're talking to? He's relaying information. Now he's asleep.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I guess he could really have any name.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just saying, like, does that matter? Are we trying to make it, like, is his last name, or I guess names together, is his name, I cannot think of any first name that sounds like appendix or even like. Is his name Abe?
Well, what is
Abe Bendix?
Abe Bendix. Well, I was thinking of like Chappie, but like Chapendix. Because there was that movie Chappie that came out about the robot. So clearly,
part robot too.
Clearly, that name came from somewhere. Maybe it's just a South African name. Who knows?
Yeah. But okay. So like.
Chad Pendix.
Did you say Chad?
Chad Pendix. Yep.
Chad Pendix. So like, ad pen. Chap? Wait, Chap or Chad?
I'm saying Chad now. The first one I was saying before was Chap. Charlie Chapendix. I mean, I'm just... I agree. There's not a whole lot that... I mean, Abe is a good one as well.
Abe, last name Pendix. Because then I guess he could be... Like, you know, if you were to look at it like professional name, he's A. dot Pendix. So, like, appendix.
Yeah. Yeah, or, I mean, I still like Abe Pendix as well.
Yeah. Again, I'm just saying that he could be Dr. A and then, like, dot, you know, how they show it professionally, whatever, and then Pendix.
Or his middle name is Penn and his last name is Dix. And so it'd just be, on paper, it'd just be Abe Dix, but fully it'd be Abe Penn Dix. Either way.
Yeah. Either way,
just putting name. Yeah, just wanted to put that out on the table as well.
Yeah, that's fine. And maybe the big person in terms of like character, maybe it's like, you know, his research assistant slash also his daughter who's also a doctor, who maybe it's her who like went and got this team of, you know, submarine explorers and stuff, because again, they're not surgeons. They're a crew of various
archaeologists,
adventurers.
And,
yeah.
Yes. You know, submarine divers. Maybe there's, well, no, I guess the surgeon would be the one who's actually on the big person.
Yeah. The big person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The big person is the surgeon. And again, I'm saying that like, it's his daughter that was like, you need to help my dad.
Yeah.
He's a big dummy. Well, he's smart, but he's a smart dummy. And so,
and her name's Abigail Penn Dix, but she also goes by Abe as well.
That's really good. Okay, there we go. The Dix family.
Yeah, the Dix family. This is Abe and my daughter Abe.
Doctor and Dr. Dix.
Yeah. Well, but then there'd also maybe be a brother involved too, because he—that's what the other team would be. There's two teams, so.
Oh, okay, there we go. You know what? Yeah, every one of the characters, they are part of the extended Dix family.
So the marine biologist or the archaeologist is also in the Dix family?
Yeah, everyone. Everyone is a member of the Dix family. You've got the uncles, the cousins. Abigail sent out the calling card. This is a very eccentric and accomplished family.
It's a family reunion.
All with the last name Dix.
It's a family reunion along with a rescue mission.
Yeah, exactly.
They were actually... he's... Abe's body is actually just out on a picnic table right next to some potato salad. And they had to operate on him immediately.
On the table. Yeah, because he didn't tell him that he was doing this experiment. He just injected himself, and then they went to this picnic at the family reunion, and then he keeled over, and you know, they were like, oh no, what happened? And Abigail was the only one that knew and was like, oh no, the appendix must be bursting.
Yeah.
To Dick's family.
Dick's family assemble. He brought them all together, actually. Maybe he made like an announcement. He's like, family, beloveds, I've gathered you here
today.
Yeah, and then he like passes out on the table, and then the Dix family assemble and miniaturize and then go inside his body.
Okay. Final bit, then we can get to name.
I think the name is just Dix Family Reunion is the whole name of this, but yes.
But Dix spelled D-I-X, obviously, right?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. It wouldn't be any other way.
I'm not gonna put the word Dix in the podcast title.
Well, That could be for another game, for sure. Anyways, yeah, final bit. That's, final bit.
Yeah, yeah, okay, okay. So final thing, because even more customization and more, obviously, player choice and autonomy, I think because it's Dick's Family Assemble, not only do you get to choose which member of the Dick's family you are playing as, but you, like, again, if you want the, you know, submarine, and then you get, like, the grabber arm, much like a Voltron or whatever, how all the pieces assemble together mm-hmm. to form the main robot or whatever, you get to choose which piece that you are bringing and adding onto your submarine.
Oh, so, like, there could be a submarine. That's really good, yeah.
Yeah. So you're better equipped for different things, or, I mean, maybe you do, maybe there are challenges in this game where, like, if you just do not have the equipment and if you're not ready for it, you have to, like, flee. You have to run away from
it. You gotta find engagement. Another, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Well, we just nailed the end of the game and the title, the Dick's Family Reunion. This is the most confusing box art that is ever going to exist. It's going to be like a guy passed out on a picnic table, uh-huh. but also like with like a cloth and, you know, surgery dressing or whatever around him. You've probably got, like, you know, an anesthesiologist or someone behind some, you know, tech in there. You've got Abigail, who's got the scalpel above him. You've got a guy in a submarine suit saying, "Dive on in."
Yeah, let's dive in. Ready.
And then you probably have some tiny, maybe even like a magnifying glass over an incision on the body to show that, like, it goes in. And then, like, a bunch of tiny dinosaurs bursting out of an appendix or something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all
wild.
Yeah, it's all gonna make sense, and I think that this art should be done in like that old sort of art style of like the 1950s, where it looks like it's like, I don't even remember. Do you remember that one cartoon where it was kind of like that they rode on dinosaurs? They were kind of like cavemen, and that there was like Glip Glorp, and there was like a blob people.
Oh, crap, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, there was, like, a pterodactyl, there was, like, two blobs, there was a triceratops that could shoot missiles out of his head.
Basically, there was, like, a kid?
Yeah, there was, like, a kid who had, who was just a kid. I think it should be done in that art style. I think that should be, hey, get at us, tweet at us whatever that name is.
The name of that is, Yeah. Okay, also, I'm glad we said it earlier, but at this point, I think the comic book is a necessary step of this board game in order to explain. Like it's like, oh, hey, guys, do you want to play Dick's Family Reunion? Just be like, sure. It's like, no, trust me, it's a really good game, but you should go pick up some literature before.
Yeah, you need
before
to pick all
coming over to play this game.
You need to pick up all 10 copies of the comic book run in order to understand what's going on.
Yeah, in order to fully grasp what is happening in this game.
All right. Well, who goes first?
Who goes first? I don't think it should be a selection thing. I think it's a selection. Like, if you want to pick certain characters or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if someone's really feeling, or two people are really feeling one character, maybe there's duplicates just for such occurrences.
Sure.
Just because, I don't know. I feel like the crew that you assemble shouldn't be prohibitive of, you know, who is going in. But I think the team that takes the first round, or at least, like, you know, their round and their choices, their submarine goes first or whatever, I think that should be what we decide.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's how the who goes first rule should apply, especially because we do have, like, definitive, like, turns in this game.
All right, I think we said it two episodes ago, but in just remembering now, if you had an appendectomy, you go first.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, if you have rid your body of the dinosaur DNA, then you are allowed.
If you are pure.
If you are straight monkey brain, you can go first. But if no one has had an appendectomy, or say if multiple people have had appendectomies, then we need to come up with bonus one.
Hmm. could do something with submarines, obviously. Mm-hmm. Could do something if you're a surgeon.
We've been doing kind of
like a mini game to decide it, but I don't know. I feel like this game is gonna have so much already that, and I mean, heck, the tagline is called Dive On In. So you just wanna dive on in and start playing the game.
For sure.
So I think it should be just some arbitrary or you know, just some set rule that is like, okay, this person goes first.
What if it's you got the tallest person, but what if it's now the smallest person then?
Shortest goes first.
It should be the shortest team. You have to add up their heights together.
Love that. And so, okay, you know what? That is actually a really good mechanic then. So if you are playing with five people, the shortest team most often or more likely is going to be the team of two because their heights won't
get that
add
advantage
up or equal to the team of three. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You get an advantage of going first. And again, I think it's whoever successfully removes the appendix, and it's not about number of rounds back and forth. It is just whoever gets there and removes the appendix. So even if the first team does get one more round to complete it, that's because they had one less person. And so, you know, that's kind of balancing right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like it.
Oh, this game is so smart.
Like all of our games, this one is truly
genius. This
one's
really smart.
Yeah,
we got surgery and dinosaurs.
And archaeology. And
yeah. Good hard science.
Picnics.
Yeah, perfect. So, thank you so much for listening. We are Misdun Needs More Games. You can find us on Twitter at PatchPotchRND. And for any professional inquiries, it is PatchPotchLLC@gmail.com. Spelling it out, PatchPotch. That's all.
That's all. Thank you so much for supporting us and voting for those who... For the one person who did.
For that who did.
Be on the lookout for more polls coming out in the future. Not sure when we will.
Yes.
We'll be definitely putting out more. Just,
gotta
be on the ball. So, anyways.
Participate with us.
Be part of this whole experience. Yeah. We would love that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it. Sign off. Do you want to take this one? Do you care?
I don't have one. I can only think of singing the
Jurassic Park theme
song.
I was about to say that too.
Really?
That's crazy.
All right, yeah. 1, 2, 3. Okay, we'll fix that up in post. Thank you.
Bye.